The lesson this morning, I wanted to visit with us for just a few moments, and we titled this lesson, Who's Watching Me? Who's Watching Me in Our Day-to-Day Activities? And I wanted to concentrate this morning on an article that I came across. I thought it was very appropriate for us going forward, and we need to study this article and kind of get an indication, get some good insight into what and how people watch our actions on a day-to-day basis. And the article comes from a brother, Ken McDaniel. He titled the article, Shady Lane, The Preacher and the Boy. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to be reading this article at the beginning for our introduction, and then we'll take some a few thoughts from that article. It goes as follows. During a recent gospel meeting that I was being asked to preach at, the local evangelist and I went and called on a few individuals in hopes of motivating some members to come and attend the gospel meeting that have not came in the past. We also looked to set up Bible studies with others who have not yet been saved. As is often in the case, we struck out several times due to no one being at home. On one return visit, however, we found an individual at home who welcomed us inside. We introduced ourselves, which no doubt clued him in as to why we were there. Still, he seemed glad for our company and asked us to sit for a while, and we visited. After a bit of small talk, finding some common ground, we got to the point. We began by inviting him to come to the gospel meeting and then moved into a more personal conversation about his soul and his relationship with God. The things we had to say did not come as a surprise to him because he had attended the services of the Church of Christ with his parents during his youth. We asked him if he felt he was saved, and his answer was no. We asked if he knew what would happen if he died in that condition. He said yes. He indicated that he would go to hell. We asked him if he could be saved without being baptized. He replied, no, not according to the Bible. With so many years have passed from the time he attended services as a boy with his family, he being an older man now, we asked if there's ever been a thought that came into his mind anymore about being saved. After a brief moment of silence, he replied, I'd like to tell you something I have never told anyone before. He explained that in his hometown, the church held a meeting every summer. At the age of 14, he decided he would be baptized during the next meeting, though he told no one about what he had planned to do. One day, a week or so before the gospel meeting began, he went to the river. He wanted to go fishing, as a young boy would do. He was sitting there enjoying the river, enjoying his afternoon, and in the stillness of the water as it rolled by. He began to hear the noise of laughter in the distance. It was coming from a boat that was drifting down the river towards him. As it rounded the bend, he recognized who was in it. Mr. Shady Lane, which was the town drunk, and the preacher was fishing. So he slipped back into the bushes not to let them know he was there. And he watched and he listened. He couldn't believe what they were saying. They were telling dirty jokes. They were laughing. And they were drinking beer and having a big old time. When they got directly in front of him, he stepped out and waved to them. Much to the preacher's surprise, he was sitting there guzzling down a beer and acting as he shouldn't be. The next Sunday came, and before services, the preacher wasn't standing in his usual place. He was out front at the entrance, greeting the people as they entered the building. He was out on the sidewalk, friendly as ever. As soon as he saw the little boy coming, he recognized him. He went by to meet him, and he said this. He warned him. He said, "Son, do not tell anyone what you saw." Our host went on to explain that although he would have liked to have told his parents about the ordeal that he had witnessed, he was afraid because he was afraid of his daddy. He said his daddy didn't tolerate lying, so he wouldn't tell him. He said if he ever thought you were lying, he would give you a whipping. So he thought the story would be so far-fetched that his daddy would not believe him, that he would receive a whipping for what he said. Who would have believed that a preacher had been floating down the river with Shady Lane, the town drunk, drinking beer, having a big old time, and laughing and carrying on, and telling dirty jokes? The young man wasn't baptized at the meeting that took place that summer. Probably close to 50 years later now, he still has not been baptized yet. While at this home, he continued to go to church through his youth with his parents, but after he grew up, that ended. He did not go back. The question would be, who's to blame in this scenario? Is it the shady? The town drunk? Is it the preacher? Or is it the boy, which has now distanced himself from the hurt by several years and still not yielded to God's will? I tried to express to him that I felt for him, and that surely what he saw must have been crushing for a young boy to see that his preacher was acting the way he was. And I asked him if he was ready to commit to himself to God. However, I tried to help him understand that God had been kind enough and mercy enough to extend his life that he still had an opportunity to do so. We encouraged him to do so that very day, but he still would not do it. He was not ready. He said he realized that his reason for not being saved will not excuse him, but regardless, that was the motive at the time for his decision. How sad indeed this story is. A man bound for hell who knows it, but who also knows what to do to avoid it. He is right. God will not excuse him for his actions. He will not excuse him for not obeying the gospel. We see that in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9. The Lord did not wrong him, by no means. It was a hypocritical preacher who had an opportunity to make an example to make things right, but apparently he failed to do so. Well, there are many applications that could be made and lessons that we could be taught from this story that we just read. The one that is most meaningful to me is the effect of our actions that it has on others as we go forward in our daily lives. Here was a boy ready to obey the gospel. He had made up his mind that when the invitation song was sang, he was going to walk down that aisle and obey the gospel. He would be buried in Christ, he would be forgiven of his sins, and he would be added to the church as a new Christian. We find this in Galatians 3:27 and also in Acts 22, verse 16. But he still had not done it yet, so because he was so hurt deeply by seeing the preacher, who was supposed to be his spiritual and godly man and have good rapport and have good attitude and also look to him for guidance and look to him for an example to live by, that he was hurt by his actions. If what our friend said is true, though the preacher was not making a great effort to conceal his sins at all, he probably wasn't expecting anyone to be there to notice him anyway. So what's our story? Then instead of trying to make things right, he inflicted more harm by trying to conceal his sins to the young man and tell him not to explain it to no one or not to say it to anybody. As a result, one is now headed for eternal damnation because of the actions of this individual. If we think about this story is kind of tragic. Sometimes we too are apt to give into temptation, as we see from day to day. We also are apt to give into temptation and do things that we should not do when we think no one's watching, you know. But as this story illustrates, the potential always exists that who is watching me? Needless to say, nothing is hidden from the Lord. There's always somebody watching. We see this in Hebrews 4 and chapter in verse 13. Just think, should someone see you, a Christian, living inconsistently with the teachings of the New Testament, it could cause him to fall away or never even become a Christian in the first place. We see Peter, as Peter admonished, we must be careful to always keep ourselves pure and our conduct honorable before others. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the days of visitation. Similarly, we find an example of Jesus stating also, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on high that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. When we conduct ourselves in a pure and godly manner, we adorn the doctrine of God instead of defaming it. That's in Titus 2 and verses 10. By doing so, others are encouraged to become Christians, to be as we are, not discouraged. Let us always, therefore, be careful to be godly people, even when no one is looking. A soul other than our own may depend on it. So I wanted to focus on this article and its powerful message that we're looking at here as far as the influence of our actions and who may be watching us in our day-to-day walk as we go through life, and always be mindful that that is always on someone's minds. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 24. I'll turn over and read that. 1 Corinthians, chapters 10, verses 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Also in chapter 31, chapter 11, verse 1. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. You know, as we live our lives, other people are always watching. We almost always need to keep in mind the commandments and the examples that we need to live by, an example that influences others. A survey on why teenagers are not following after their parents' faith. They say the number one reason that our children are not following in our paths as their parents, the number one reason is that adults do not live consistent lives and Christian lives with what they say they believe. That's the number one reason that our children are falling away. They do not see the godly example in the homes today that they need to see for their faith to be strong enough to remain a faithful Christian in their adult lives as they get older. Pretty powerful words. Mark Yoconelli, tough word to say. Mark Yoconelli, 2002, wrote, the question is, what kind of God image their parents project? For to these teenagers, their fathers and their mothers are the lenses through which they see God. Not only do grown-ups fail to conduct their lives in a way commensurate with their state of convictions, they also never talk to their children about their spiritual concerns and matters. How do we expect our children to be brought up in the admonition of the Lord if we do not visit with them concerning their souls? They can't get it out of thin air. If it's not by the example that we live, then we definitely are not doing what we need to do as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents as well. Their souls depend on it. So I want us to think this morning on how important is our Christian lives, and are we living it when we leave this building this morning? Question would be, how do you want your children to grow up? Do you want them to be like the young man we read about this morning in the message and say that his soul's lost because you did not act right in your life? How would you like to stand before God and say, what happened? You had this opportunity, but your life was not reflected on what we need to do. And we sure don't want that answer to be said, you know, depart from me because of our actions when we're not at the church building. Are we living that life today? Is each one of us living the life, the best life that we can, to be influencing others? Because they're always watching. Everybody's watching. People enjoy, human nature enjoys seeing people fail. And that's just human nature. And it's always a challenge for us to be sure and remember that we have to be stronger. We have to be strong in the faith. We have to be bigger than that person, you know. Are you a detriment or an encouragement to the faithful folks around you? Let's not be a stumbling block to anyone. Let's always strive to be the person we need to be. The sad thing is that while some kill the budding faith of others, it still remains that each of us must be careful who we are following. We definitely do not want to follow the wrong path. We cannot blame others for our own poor choices. It's not their fault. We're responsible for our own choices. When we see bad examples, it should spur us to say, I'm not going to go down that path. We see an example of that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. This is why God recorded the failures of men as well as their good deeds. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 6, verses 12. And yes, we can also learn from bad behavior. We can learn valuable lessons from sins of others. For example, Sodom and Gomorrah. In the Bible, we see examples of how people are not to live. Jude, verse 7. We're all familiar with Mark Twain. Mark Twain was a writer, an American writer that we all followed. He was what I consider to be a philosopher. And he always had very good insight on life and different life's lessons. And he wrote this. We must learn from the mistakes of others because we don't have time to make all of them ourselves. I like that conversation. We must learn from the mistake of others because we don't have the time to make all of them ourselves. But that means each of us may know and must know the difference between right and wrong. We must judge each example and decide it's not worth the following. That's in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 14. Though example helps us to put into practice the things we learn, it still fails upon us to learn the principles. And how do we learn the principles? We get in the book. We study. We study the Word diligently. How are you going to learn what to do if you do not study? Not only do we study by going to Bible class, we also study by worshiping God. We also study by studying the Bible at home. Not a better time in the morning if you get up early as some do at 6 in the morning when it's daylight to read the Scriptures. It's a good time to meditate. This morning was really nice. It was nice and cool outside. Thinking about something else that I thought of as well. You want to have a good marriage. For us that's been married, some's been married longer than others. Some's been married way longer than others. How would you pattern, say for example, someone that's been married 50 years, if you're forced enough to be married 50 years, and you're just starting out as a new couple? Wouldn't you think it would be advisable for you to look at this couple and say, what did they do to make it? Other than a baseball bat. No, I'm just kidding. But you would want to look at their lives and Christian lives as a married couple and say, you know, they did it right. You know, what did they do that sustain their marriage that long? And obviously it was a Christian home and a godly marriage. So I would say we wanted to observe that marriage and do what they do and just don't do what they don't do. And I know that's kind of hard and that's kind of a tricky statement there, but it is some good examples to live by. We want to be reminded also to go to our Bibles, as we said earlier, and study. See if it's consistent with God's instructions. Anything we do, see if it's consistent with God's instructions on how we go forward. Always imitate the good, never the bad. It's pretty common sense there. Imitate the good, never the bad. One thing that I wanted to be sure and mention, I didn't want to be a negative person this morning. That's not my intent. We always want to give everyone around us encouragement. You know, we're not all perfect people. We all sin every day. No one's better than anyone else. The preacher, the elders, the deacons, the members of the congregation here, we're all sinners. We're all falling short of where we need to be. So I don't want to single anyone out, and I hope you don't take it that way because I'm not trying to do that. But what we need to do is we need to encourage each one of us as we go forward. Give everyone around us encouragement. And you can do that by just being cordial, in love. Love's a strong word. We all love everyone. And I love everyone in this congregation. And we all want to see your soul, everyone's soul. We want to see you in heaven. We all want to make it to that last final, the last final destination. And the good news is, the Bible says we will win. You know, at the final days, if we live a faithful life, then we'll be able to go to heaven and live eternally with God. And that's our ultimate goal, and that's what we're striving to do. So I wanted to mention these three terms. Us as adults, we always want children to say, I want to be like him. When I grow up, I want to be like her. That's our goal. Teenagers, don't leave anybody out. Teenagers, I know you have a lot on your plate now. You know, we were fortunate to grow up in a time where we did not have all the problems that they have this day and time because social media has created such a peer pressure problem that it's unbearable, I would think, nowadays that in the world that we live in, that you have a tremendous burden. People are pulling at you daily, all the time. So, you know, it's almost impossible to avoid it unless you live a sheltered life. And that's impossible because we do have school, we have work, we do have to mingle within the world. So I admire you for what you do. You know, you be commended for what you do. It's hard. I know it's hard. But always remember, teenagers, that there's someone littler than you that's always watching you. There's all ages in our congregation here and always in the world as well. So try to live your life and always think that you have someone to look at you and say, you know, I'd like to be like that person. I want to be strong like she is. I want to be strong like he is. I don't want to participate in all the things. I don't want to sit around and talk about people or do things that I shouldn't do. I don't want to do things that's going to create me to give them a stumbling block and say, I think one of the worst things that possibly could happen is if you steer someone down the wrong path. Because a lot of times that they can't turn around and go the other direction. So remember, teenagers, always see that someone's watching. We also want to be sure and let our neighbors know who we are. People live next door to you if you live in town or even in the country, in a neighborhood. We want them to say, that's the kind of person I want to be. That's a Christian, always happy, joyful, never miserable. Tough to do in sometimes in this time we live in, but the neighbors always want to see us as those people. You know, we always heard the term peculiar people. And that could be interpreted several different ways. But we are people that needs to stand out and say, you know, Christians are what we desire everyone to be. So our neighbors need to see us as that. Not to see us on Sunday morning and on Sunday and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But on Monday, where are we going to be? You know, where are we going to be? What are we going to be doing? Will we be going to the worldly things and having doing what they do? Well, they're going to say, you know, hypocrites for sure. That's a tough word as well, but it's hard to overcome that. It's hard to overcome that. If you're trying to save souls and that's our number one mission and they see us as not being, having our convictions right, then who are they going to believe? When our lives are molded to the model of God, and that's our intent, that's our goal each day is to be more like Christ. He's laid it out for us. The plan's there. We have the blueprint. We can just study the Bible and see how we are supposed to live. And that's what God wants for us. You know, it gives him glory to the Creator and to our Savior when we live right and do what Christ wants us to do and be that example to others. So let's do this. Let's be mindful of all our activities and how we should live every day. Try not to let the world come in and influence you to participate in what they do. I know it's a tall challenge at times. But one thing we can do in situations like problems we may get into is, you know, we can decide to leave, for that matter. If it's something we think that's not right, then we can always not participate and just go back to the people that we know we need to be fooling, that we need to be surrounding ourselves with, because we're all in it for the same goal. I'll end with saying, you never know who's watching. You never know who's watching, and that goes for all of us. So I wanted to be sure and let you know that this is not meant to be harsh. I just wanted us to be reminded of the fact that we do have an obligation to be the best people we can be. We need to be as Christ-like as we can. And I would encourage each one of us to do that as we go forward. We would not want to leave here this morning without offering an invitation. You know, that's, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we want to give an opportunity for anybody that may have a need this morning. You know, we can be part of a wonderful thing. You know, if you're not a member of the kind, if you have not been baptized and you have not been saved, you have that opportunity this morning. There's no time like the present. If your life is not right, then now's the time. You know, by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, and being baptized and then brought up to live a life faithful as a faithful Christian, then we can have hope of eternal life. Without that, we can't. So we always want to give that opportunity for anybody that may not be a member, may not be a Christian, that may not be saved. We give you that opportunity to come. We also wanted to give an opportunity as well. Maybe something's pulling at your heart. Maybe you are a member of this congregation that you have not lived as appropriate as you think you should. You may have some bad thoughts about, you know, all of us have a conscience. Our conscience is great because it wears on us, and that's a good thing. So there may be some here that may have a need. It could be personal. Could be a need of any type for that matter. And just want to visit with it. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to help you in any way we can. So if you would have a need this morning and would like to come forward, be sure and come forward now as we stand and sing.